1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
And now, bowl for bowl, the greatest sports name in sports, Tim Murray.
Timmy.
Yep. A couple bowls of cereal down. You know, sometimes I'm behind the game today. Today, ate some banana.
Yeah.
A little cinnamon life. Ready to go.
How long will that hold you? How many hours? What are we looking at as far as when we need to stoke the fires again?
I'd say 3 hours.
Okay. Because I learned last night on HBO's Downfall of a Loudmouth, whatever it's called, the Craig Carton story, which I didn't find it that compelling. I don't know why.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched all but like 10 minutes of it, 10 or 15 minutes.
All but, okay.
Yeah, it was an hour and 20 minutes long, right, Tim?
Yep, I watched the whole thing. I've got my thoughts too, but want to hear yours first.
I just never, you have to have empathy or sympathy or be interested in the character at some point, and he's just an ass,
kind of how I felt about Mad Men, I guess.
And I thought, I don't care what happens to this guy, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was interesting. Maybe it was just badly produced. Maybe they didn't do a good job of getting across, you know, his illness or sickness, or, you know, the part about him, you know, his summer camp molestation right. That he went through as a kid. The way they put that in there, I thought, oh, so this is why he gambled everyone's money away. So
yeah, that was the piece that they felt like. Look, I'm not taking. I mean, that piece is horrifying, and what he had to deal with at a summer camp as a kid is
that was bad,
and disgusting, and
absolutely
and awful.
Right.
But yeah, it felt like it was an 80-minute. I don't want to say documentary. I mean, it was, but it just felt like it was an 80-minute of hey. I used to be really successful,
yeah,
and now I'm back out of prison, so...
I guess the part I didn't realize was he took over for Don Imus. He and Boomer took over for Don Imus when with the nappy-headed whole line.
And I didn't, I didn't realize the full backstory, and, you know, I didn't realize he was that old. I thought he was younger than, he's in his 50s
51
now,
didn't he say at the end of it? Yeah. I'm 51 when he got out of prison, which was recently...
Like, I don't know, when you're taking a helicopter from your apartment in New York to Atlantic City to gamble in a back room by yourself.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
That people gave you because you said, I can make you money.
Right.
He said that, I will make you 10%.
Well, but who believes him on that? Who says, okay, here's my money.
Okay, here's a little bit more of the story. He got on the air, and he was telling Boomer Esiason how I could make you 10% on your money and start out at 1,000. And Boomer's saying, you can make me 10%. Or no, he said, I'll double your money. That's what it was. I will double your money. And Boomer called him on it. He said, I will give you $10,000. And Carton said, I'll give you.
He did this on the air.
It was on the air
because they were doing.
Well, he's going to a casino to gamble.
Right. They were doing They were doing a radio once a year. They went to the Borgata in Atlantic City to do a, you know, whatever it was, an event, and they did a live remote there. And they to promote the event, they were talking about it, and he is, hence the name of the show, a loudmouth, and just blurts out whatever he wants. And that was kind of interesting, too, the dynamic of that show, which was the sensible one was the former pro athlete, and that was Boomer. And apparently they had a great rapport and whatnot. And, yeah, he was like, oh, you know, I'll double your money. And Boomer was like, fine. And he brought in $10,000. People were like, ah, they're full of it.
Yeah.
And then at the live remote, that whatever morning Here comes Carton with $80,000.
$80,000, and he gives Boomer his $20,000 back, and it was on. People were coming out of the woodwork at that point wanting him to go gamble for them, right?
Yep.
So they just basically had a big on-air commercial for his services.
Essentially, yeah, which he didn't know he was going to do.
Not intentionally, right.
And then he started, you know, I mean, he said he had, what, 4 clients? And there was one point where he got handed a duffel bag of $1 million.
On a street corner.
Illegal
on a street
somehow. Corner. It just somehow seems illegal. I don't know.
And then
How about the night he sat at a casino? I'm not sure where in Atlantic City he went. He took $500,000 from a guy who gave him $500,000 to win $550 for him.
Yep.
And he said, I won the $550, and the deal was anything over that I kept. And he had won $1.4 million over the $50,000 he was supposed to earn. He was up $1.4 million and had his client's cash in the bag. And before he left the table, it was all gone.
Yep.
Who doesn't walk away when they're up $1.4 million, Tim?
Someone with the problem.
Boomer said he walked away. He had won $3,500 one night when he was out gambling with Carton. And Boomer said, I'm going home. And Carton said, what do you mean you're going home? He goes, I got my money. I'm going home. I'm taking this and I'm leaving. He goes, it was, you know, Carton never even considered that.
Yeah, and then so because of that, he, you know, when these people are giving you $500,000 to gamble with, then, and you don't win it, so now you're paying, now you're going into debts, and that's where he had to start a business. He gets a line of credit from a hedge fund for $2 million, and he doesn't use that for a business. He uses it to pay off debts. So it's like, yeah, that's why you're going to prison.
If he had any discipline, you talked about him choppering over to Atlantic City. He would wait till everyone in his house was in bed, and he would leave.
Right.
And he would hop on a chopper and go gamble till 3:30 in the morning, and that was his cutoff.
Right to work.
He had discipline to cut himself off at 3:30.
I got to be out of here at 3:30 in order to be back in New York City to do the show, to get ready for the show. So,
right. And there was never a talk about, you know, he wasn't getting drunk doing this. He wasn't showing up work hammered. I think he just went and gambled. That was his escape. I don't know. He grew up in upper middle class, but
his dad was an orthopedic surgeon.
Right.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty upper.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, his relationship with his parents seemed a little icy. They didn't really get into that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting because he's a radio guy and I'm in sports radio. I didn't know his backstory. I mean, being realistic here, and he brought this up on the show, and this is what a bunch of people said, a bunch of his colleagues, like, why can't you just be satisfied with being the number one morning drive show in New York City? Like, how is that not enough? You're from New York. You're crushing it. You've got this great show. He was probably making $1 million+ doing that radio show.
Wasn't a great show.
He said he was making $2 million a year. I was making $2 million a year.
I missed that part. Yeah.
He said I was making $2 million a year.
$2 million a year to talk on the radio, and it wasn't enough.
Well, Brian pointed out years ago, because Boomer and Carton were the punchline around here for a long time. Well, Boomer and Carton, because you used to check them out on TV
and go,
those guys suck.
Well, it's kind of like Mike and the Mad Dog. Yeah. Mike.
So let's not say they had a great show. I'll say they were number one in New York.
Yeah,
a great show. Meh.
To the nut job New York fans, it was great. You know, I mean, look, okay, saying they'd had a great show, fair. I will take that, because Skip Bayless doesn't have a great show, but he makes $5 or $6 million.
Right.
Stephen A. Smith doesn't have a great show, and he makes $5 or $6 million. So he was doing a show that some people thought was great, and they paid him lucratively for it.
The people who were signing the checks thought he was great, and that's all that matters.
You're great. Let me sign those for you.
I don't know. I will. All I can say is, if I were making. Well, I just say this. I'm making what I make now, and I'm pretty content. I don't need to. Look, I gamble very casually because it's a little. I mean, I put. But I first off, no one's giving me money to. Hey, Tim, go bet on games.
What are you talking about? I gave you money.
That's true.
But I told you what to bet it on. I instructed you. It wasn't like I said. Hey.
But he gave you a little breeze of it first, though. When you placed your last bet, and he told you what the line was, what the teams were.
Oh, I informed him that I didn't want
to. No, I don't want to do that.
I don't. Like, I don't want to screw things up for the Brewers. I said. And then I bet on them anyway, and they lost. I just crapped the bed against Cardinals, and so I ruined the season. Wasn't their lack of hitting? It was me.
They still made the playoffs.
They did. They did. But I don't know. I thought I expected more. I was like, oh man, you know, or it was just another gambling story. The numbers were bigger, you know.
Yeah, he was gambling a lot of money.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's just another guy with a gambling addiction. I didn't hate it, but I didn't. I don't need to see it again.
And it was, you know, he went to prison for a year, and
he kept a journal.
And now he's out, and he's going to, and this basically was, hey, I want to be back on the radio.
And he's going to be. They announced it when?
That was a report, okay. But yeah, it sounded like he was going to be back on the radio, on the same radio station.
His best prison story was the guy who said he was in the mob, and everybody knew he wasn't in the mob, and his nickname became, are you ready for this, Brian? Phony Soprano in the joint.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Why did he say he was in the mob?
So that people think
leave him alone?
Yeah. But then a guy from the mob showed up and said, dude, that guy's not in the mob.
And that's like kind of like trademark infringement with people you don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So.
And saying that in a prison is probably the worst place you can do it.
You say you're in the mob? Who told you that?
Me? No.
Carton said that also on the in there, he also said that one of his worst nightmares was going to prison. I was like, agreed,
yeah,
right here.
It's all of ours.
All
yeah.
of it. I was like, yeah. Hell no.
So, like, you're not alone there.
By the way, speaking of run-ins with the
law?
New York's finest, the law. I got pulled over yesterday.
What?
Not by New York police.
No.
Okay, good. Was it New York police?
It was.
Because they have that NY. Don't they have that pizza delivery deal?
No. And it wasn't the FBI at my door.
Okay.
Got pulled over. What were you doing?
So yesterday.
Did you tell them there's way worse people in this town here in Las Vegas than me?
The cop was super nice. I've never had a nicer interaction with a police officer before. So I'm all frazzled because I call up. So my father-in-law and my wife, and we hired movers to pack the truck. But my father-in-law is driving the truck across country for us with his brother. So I took care of the rental. So I, you know, rented the U-Haul and all the things that needed to go with it. And you know, you pick the location of where you want to pick it up. So I called the location. I'm like, hey, I just wanted to check in and see that the 26-foot truck is there. Like, we don't have a 26-foot truck. And then I just start MFing the guy, and I feel bad because it's not his fault. So he's like,
maybe you should lay off that Cinnamon Life a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't have enough Cinnamon Life yesterday. Maybe. I was a little grumpy. So I call U-Haul. I'm on hold for 15 minutes or whatever, and I got to get to work. So I go out the door. I got my phone. I start driving. And finally get a hold of someone, they figure it out. And as I'm driving on the highway, it's a pretty short drive to work, I look up and there's a cop right behind me. And I'm like, ah, crap. So I do what most people do when you see a cop right behind you. You change lanes. Like, let's see if this guy will get off my butt here. And then he changed lanes right behind me. I'm like, ah, crap. Lit me up. He's like, first he goes, how's your day going? I go, not great. I was like, you know, I'm running late to work. I got this U-Haul situation. I kind of just laid it out there. And I was like, and you just pulled me over. And he's like, yeah, don't know how things are in Maryland because I have Maryland tags still.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's like, but it's hands-free
here
in
Nevada. Do you say, but around here?
Around these parts.
Right.
But no, he was super cool about it. Didn't give me a ticket or anything. So,
thank you, officer.
Yeah. Right before I got pulled over, the U-Haul situation got figured out. The cop was super cool. So I was like, all right, things are looking up after a start pad today. So I was like, yeah, no, he was very cool about it. Maybe if I had Nevada plates, he would not have been as cool.
It's
but,
true.
But damn. Since I was out of stater.
Or maybe it's just the universe leveling itself out.
Maybe.
You know,
yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Seinfeld, even Steven. I'm even
what's
Steven.
What's this evening for? What is being evened up?
Well, the whole U-Haul thing, you know, that got straightened out.
I did call. I apologized before hanging up on the initial place because, you know, it's not their fault. U-Haul supplies all these places with trucks and they just take what they get, right? They're just a placeholder, so to speak, whether you pick it up from a storage facility or a gas station or mm-hmm. whatever.
Or an actual U-Haul store.
Or a U-Haul store. So I apologized on the phone before hanging up. And then I actually called them back and I'd be like, hey, sorry, I was a real douche and mm-hmm. Shouldn't have done that. And he's like, yeah, no worries. He's like, U-Haul sucks. He was like, U-Haul does this to us all the time. I was like, oh, okay.
You wouldn't believe what I get called every day.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. We're going to put a new air freshener in your truck for you for calling back.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So I did not get arrested, knock on wood, like Craig Carton. Imagine coming out of your apartment and...
At 3 o'clock in the morning, walking up. Yeah.
And seeing a federal agent walk up, you're like... I hope
well, first of all,
for someone else.
If you're walking out of your apartment and somebody says, are you Craig Carton?
Nope.
Don't you start backing up the stairs a little bit? Yeah. Going, wait, what? Why are you here? I mean, don't you think there's a problem? But he just said.
She was a federal agent, so she clearly knew who he was,
yeah.
Right? So what if she was like, are you Craig Carton? He's like, nope, he's inside. But you kept walking past.
Now,
it?
Don't you get charged with obstructing an investigation at that point, or something like that?
Sure, but they have to catch you first, and then I'm never coming back to that place.
But you live there,
yeah. So what?
Your wife and kids
your
are
four gonna, kids are inside, yeah,
still up there.
Send for them. Yeah, send them a letter.
Imagine that. Imagine having to wake your wife up at 3:45 in the morning
to call your radio show producer to tell him. Yeah, it won't be into that.
My husband's been arrested for. Is it embezzlement? No.
Misappropriation
fraud.
Of funds. Yeah, fraud. Yeah. Yeah. Fraud is very simple. When you tell somebody, when you take money from somebody and tell them you're going to do this with it and you do something else, that's fraud.
Really?
It's that simple.
That simple.
It's that simple, they said. It was
out
and out.
Money.
I'm going to do this with it. And if you don't do exactly what you promised them you would do with it,
so if
that's
I
fraud.
Say, I'm going to take this money and put it in the candy machine.
Mm-hmm.
And eat a Kit Kat.
Yes. And I say, okay, here's...
But I get a Snickers bar instead.
Technically, that's fraud.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't do that. You're going to get arrested.
Now, Carton, I thought, never really owned that whole fraud thing because he said, technically, yes, that's what I did, but I was doing it, I would have done it 5 weeks later. That's all. I would have taken. I would have invested the money that I said for them. Right? Wasn't that his quote?
Yeah. But after, I know you missed the very end, which was essentially he was like, "I messed up." You know, he kind of owned everything.
Okay. But I thought the best part, if there was a best part to this, it was when. It's that was the TV show as well, and they had the footage of Boomer going, "Yeah, I don't know where Carton is, but you know that he's not here if I'm starting the show, so and so is filling in, and they don't know what's going on, and all of a sudden their phones start blowing up. He's been arrested while they're right. on the air, and they've got to deal with this in real time because everybody in the world knows that Carton's been arrested now. What for? Nobody knows, and they're going, "What did he do?
Well,
they're smoking pot. They catch him with pot."
Right. The program director came in and said, don't say anything. He's like, don't say anything. We're a talk show, and the entire world knows that the other guy got arrested by the FBI.
Right. That was a great response by Boomer. Don't say anything. We're a talk show. And then they...
Boy, you know, I get hauled off and arrested out of here. I expect it to be talked about all morning. What's the point of having a talk show or talking about interesting things if the most weirdest thing that ever happened to you in your life, well, up there anyway, and you don't talk about it?
Can we agree on this now that if any of us is hauled out,
hauled
arrested,
up and arrested, yeah, go ahead.
We're all free to talk about that. Why was he arrested? What's going on? What do you know? We're all okay?
Well, usually, I would think if your partner on a radio show doesn't come in, it's especially a morning show, right? Doesn't come in one morning, I would think majority of the people would guess, he probably got popped for a DUI, right?
Yeah,
Late night, got drunk.
Right, they wondered that.
In the tank.
Well, we're kind of drifting out of that age now. So
well, I'm just saying.
Ripper, yeah. Huh?
Could just be, he's dead.
Right. Could be that.
Yeah. Do you open up the phone lines? Why did my partner get arrested? Oh, frauding, taking money and not using it.
Misappropriation
correctly.
Of funds. Misappropriation. Fraud. Yeah, right. Federal offense. Federal crime. Not good. Yeah. So then Boomer has to deal with this on the air live. And for that, he went how long without talking to Carton?
In a while.
He said, yeah, we didn't talk. I was mad at him.
They've clearly made up. So they're... They're good on that front.
It's okay. Check it out. I'm not trying to advise people not to watch it. It just wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I don't know why.
I mean, once again, I'm not taking what happened to him as a child lightly. That's horrifying and awful, and no one should ever have to deal with that. But at the end of the day, basically it was a really rich guy had a gambling addiction and thought he could make a lot of people thought he could have a business of making people more money. I mean, there were parts where I was sitting here with my roommate and I literally took my hand, my palm to my face. Like I was a literal emoji. He's like, oh, this blackjack thing's easy.
Yeah.
I could win this all the time. I'm like, oh my God, how many people say that?
Yeah.
So,